College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, Kyle Quinn in for Hugh today. Luke Nichols behind the glass for Kyle. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all of that. People now are we angry about Jalen Hurts all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Wasn't even a Hurts show today.
Well,
what happened?
It always devolves into that.
It does.
Some way, shape, or form.
We like talking about Jalen. We'll get back to your phone calls here. Top five Sixers last 25 years. I went Iverson, Embiid, Iguodala, Drew Holiday, Tyrese Maxey. Is it crazy to have Ben Simmons on there? The poll question is leading me to believe some people do not think it's crazy to have him on there. We'll see where people come down on that. Top five Sixers last 25 years. All right, back to the phone calls in a minute. Of course, the swing off for the home run derby. Would you be okay and open to seeing it in a real game? We saw something else last night, though, that we will see in a real game, I think, as soon as the start of next season. That is the ABS system, the challenge system, Major League Baseball with the robots and the challenges and the strike zone. Let's hear our Senate last night. Manny Machado challenging a ball strike call.
Ball down.
Challenge.
What do you think?
Yeah. I don't know if it can come from the, it can't come from the dugout, but it can come from the booth. I think it's going to work.
Let's see, Kyle. Well, how'd you do?
I think it's a strike.
Automated balls and strikes powered by T-Mobile's network.
That's messed up.
Hey, you take them any way you can get them, boys.
There we go.
All right, it was the first time we saw this in spring training, but now this is the first time in a game. You know, last night, the All-Star game, we saw. Did you like it?
I'm ready to see it in the playoffs this year. That was so smooth.
It was
so
smooth.
Painless. Like, I loved seeing the umpires get humbled. Make the right calls, or you're going to be out of here. Like, so we've had this conversation about the robot umps and the ABS system, and it's not, like, true to the, you know, I've been the baseball purist for a while here. But nobody really argues with umpires anymore to an entertaining level anyway.
I miss it.
But something that Larry Anderson always brings up, I think, has stuck with me, is that things would be different, and I think we'd all be okay with sticking with the umpires, no robots, if the umpires were held accountable for when they were really bad.
And that's what this does.
And like, right. Like, they're not. What's his name? Phil Cuzzi had an awful game. He's out there the very next time.
Right.
It's his turn, umpiring. There's no accountability whatsoever. I love the fact that this humbles them. And it almost, you know, we talked about tipping the weenie scale with the Sixers, lighting a fire under Embiid's ass, these old guys. Maybe this will light a fire under the umpire's ass. Make better calls.
So a couple things from last night. One, I did think it moves quickly, and I like that. And we're going to get this, so we have to start getting used to what it's going to look like. That was good. Two, I do like keeping them accountable. But I saw a quote from Paul Skeens where he said he doesn't know how much he's going to do it because he doesn't want to challenge the umpires.
Yeah.
Because you do have, there is a human element to it. Like, if you challenge them and they're right, I'm like, come on. Like,
and think about this. I guess you only get two, and then you get a third if you're right.
Yes.
What if you exhaust them early on, and then the ump holds a grudge, like Phil Cuzzi's been known to do?
Right.
You don't get that outside of the box anymore.
So because you only get a certain amount per game, do you think the Phillies should only allow certain guys? Like, when Schwarber thinks it's a strike, I trust Schwarber.
Yes.
Harper's
got to. You're not letting Rojas do it.
Castellanos is not allowed to challenge. The guy has no idea what a ball and a strike is.
I could also see him being like, very impulsive and emotional.
I know.
Like,
I could see Boehm doing that too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure. Right. So, yeah, that is interesting. And
but you can't tell a veteran player, like, they can't really tell Castellanos you're not allowed. If he feels it, he's going
to
do it.
You would have to designate. I think if I'm the Phillies, I look at everybody's on base percentage and I do a cut line, almost like they do in golf. If you are above this line in your on base percentage,
Casting, you're below the line. Sorry, buddy.
I trust you to make this challenge.
That's going to be the most fascinating thing is which players use it the most and do they get it right? And I really could see, you know, like Luke said, Boehm, Castellanos, impulsive hitters that are going to think they're right and they're going to make a mistake and they're going to cost the team a challenge.
And now, to be fair, the other side of this is it is a little bit anticlimactic when it happens on like a strike three.
Yeah.
Because there is something to the ump doing the whole like,
So let's go to that. Let's say the ninth inning ends on a strike three and then I tap the helmet. No, challenge that one. It'll lose some of the gusto.
It will. But then also, but again, because I'm discovering today that a lot of these scenarios I envision what I'm doing if I walk into here and who I'm talking to and how angry everybody is. If we're getting screwed by something like that in the ninth inning where we know, like just the other day against the Giants, we all came in here freaking out about that umpire. Like, imagine that happening in a playoff game.
There's also the other side, though. We could, you know, it doesn't always going to work out for us, right? Like, what if we're getting the good calls and then they tap the helmet and we lose it?
But fair is fair.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to even the playing field for both sides. Like, that's a reality that I'm going to have to live with. I mean, this is 100% coming.
Yes, I think next season.
The home run swing off thing, you know, I doubt it, but less than zero chance. This is going to be here next season.
Luke, do you like it, the ABS system?
I don't like it because of the reason you just mentioned, how it just kind of takes some of the gusto. It takes, like, the hype out of the moment. It happened last night. It was the top of the ninth inning when the AL was, you know, mounting that comeback. Stephen Kwan got on base and then stole second. And then he got stranded on second because, you know, Diaz threw a strike three that was called a ball. He called for the challenge. It was called a strike. Inning over just like that. It just completely ruined the moment for me. So I don't want guys just constantly doing this, tapping their heads, like in the NBA, anytime you have a foul.
Oh,
you see guys
worst.
Waving their fingers like this. They're going nuts.
I forget who it was. It might have been Nick Wright. I saw someone say that they should give a technical foul if you wave your finger in the NBA. It's every single foul. Challenge. Shut up.
The umpires get sensitive. They're not going to like that.
They're not going to like it.
And the umpires will be sensitive. They will hold the grudge if their calls keep getting overturned, and say like the Phillies keep challenging it and the Phillies keep getting it right, the umpire is just going to be more kind of ticky-tack and particular whenever the Phillies are pitching.
My guess is hitters are going to challenge more, and they're going to say, whatever, if I get it right. I think pitchers are going to be more liberal about doing it. Or more conservative, I should. I could see Wheeler like only doing it if he really thinks he got screwed and not just like not kind of being touchy-feel with the umpire and pissing him off.
Well, so should they let the catcher do it?
Well, the catcher would know.
He has the by far the best view. But then that also is like, is that too easy? It should come from the manager who's got a side view.
Right. But the manager's not allowed, right? It's got to be the players.
Right. But like,
They could change it.
Yeah, I'm just workshopping it. Like, what if he could only judge based off of his player's reaction and whether or not he trusts his player? Because then it's like, Topper shouldn't have trusted him.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, that adds another element.
Like almost a captain of challenges.
Right.
Who's allowed to do it?
Yeah. And like, how good is Topper actually? He's supposed to be a player's manager. How good is he at reading his player's emotions and reacting appropriately and trusting the right guys? I mean, talk about pushing the right buttons. You guys brought up, and I agree to an extent, it does. It loses some gusto. It is a little bit anticlimactic, but that was us coming from a perspective of an objective viewer. If you're a Phillies fan, and say Kirkering throws a strike that's clearly a strike, the umpire calls it a ball, we challenge it, it gets overturned to a strike, and it's strike three, and we win the game in the ninth, we're not going to be like, oh, that wasn't as cool. We're going to be celebrating just like the Phillies won a playoff game.
Agreed, but there's also the other side. Kirkering throws strike three, we're celebrating, the ump's throwing, and then they tap the helmet, they review it, actually, ball four.
Okay.
And then, like, I know ignorance can be bliss. Like, I think about the highlights you see now of the old days. The game ended on a walk-off hit or a play at home plate, and he's safe. The more replay we have, the less it feels real because you have to go to the replay first, right? It's like in the NFL, like, wait, did they throw a flag?
Yeah.
Are they going to review this? It's like, it loses a little bit of the...
So,
like, Brad Lidge's strike three to end the World Series.
Yes,
I know
it was awesome. Yeah, imagine that moment.
I know, it was different. But, like, imagine if that could have been a challenge. Like,
right.
Yeah, they still win the World Series, but you lose that moment.
It does make it less, like, iconic, I suppose.
Everyone stop! Okay, now you get cheered.
Right. It does remind me, though, that scenario you brought up of, in the NFL, when, say, a wide receiver's making a catch along the sidelines, and you get super hyped because he came down with it. You saw him catch the ball in his hands.
But you got to wait.
Then all of a sudden, you show the replay, and you see that his second foot was out of bounds.
Like,
that's exactly, I think, the feeling that we'd all have. But I don't know. Like, it just made everything so much like the umpires had to get humbled a little bit, and it was so smooth the way that they were able to pull it off. Like, I don't know. I think I'm starting to have convinced myself that it's just better for the game, for the product as a whole, if they just go to this in the playoffs. Not full robot umpires, like not the lines where almost like in tennis where everything's just automated. But I do like the idea because this is kind of a happy medium where you have the umpire who still gets to make the calls. You still get a little consternation between the player and the umpire.
Which I like.
Yeah. And like the umpire, look, this might even tick the umpire off a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And if the umpire holds a grudge against you, and say screws you over later because he didn't like how often you were challenging frequently in the game.
And maybe you're out of challenges then.
And then you get another Schwarber freak out because he knows the umpire's got it out for him.
So what if I'm an umpire and you challenged twice on me and you called me out and you were wrong both times?
Yeah.
Am I going to, when I know you're out of challenges, am I going to screw you later?
Some guys might.
What are you going to do about it? You have no challenges left.
Then you might see some guys get tossed.
Yeah.
Then we got both.
Well, that could be fun. Yeah, I mean, I've accepted this is going to happen as soon as next season. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. A lot to discuss. We go to Jay in West Philly. What's up, Jay?
Hey, he's taking up all my time talking about this stuff. Now, look.
All your time.
Yeah, Kyle. Now, look. Mm-hmm. What's this fascination you got with this list that's jingling on?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, that's all.
Well, what's your fascination? You called in about it.
No, because I'm trying to figure out why y'all talking about it. Now, there's only one starting quarterback, right, on the team?
Yes, and that's Jalen Hurts.
Okay, so all these guys that's on the list, they're not starting for the Eagles, right?
Well, no, they're on other teams.
Oh, okay. All right. So we the Super Bowl champs, but we worried about where he fall at on the list?
Well, no, I'm not worried about it. I think he's placed. I don't think it's a big deal where he's right.
Hold on, Joe. We're the Super Bowl champs?
Yeah, they won the Super Bowl. February in New Orleans against the Chiefs.
I totally forgot.
No, because this list is what? The executives or people in the league, right?
Coaches, executive scouts, yep.
Okay. All right. These are the same people that none of these quarterbacks that's ranked 1 through 4, were they drafted number 1 overall?
No.
Okay, so that means some executives could be wrong, right? These are the same executives that said Lamar was a wide receiver.
Well, I get potentially, yeah. I don't know who they are, but potentially, yeah.
But my thing is, like, they polling these people, like I said, this is just a waste of time until football season game. Because these people, they poll or taking polls and votes and all that, they could all be wrong, right?
Or they could be right, yeah. I mean, right, like, I could say the same thing, that they're accurate.
Okay, and then these are the same people. I'm guessing that you can't vote on your own player, right?
I didn't see that as part of the criteria. I don't know that.
Oh, okay. Because there might be some people that's just putting them down there just because we win it, and they mad. So I don't put no stock in these polls. All I know is that we got one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And over the last 3 years, I think he was voted the best, most efficient quarterback as far as yards per play.
So of all the things you've said, Jay, and say on with these lists, I agree with you on one of the last things you said. The Eagles have one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, and they win a lot of football games. I'm with you on that, and that's really what matters. When we brought up the list a couple days ago, I said I didn't think he's being disrespected. Like, you could put him 5, you could put him 6, 7, 8, 9. I had him 6, but I don't think any of this is disrespect. Like, Jay, if he was ranked 15th, I think that's ridiculous. He's obviously better than that. If he was ranked 20th, that's ridiculous. He's obviously better than that. But I don't think anyone's out to get him. I just think that's what people think of him in the NFL.
Well, they're wrong because all those teams lost.
Well, their teams lost. Yeah, they're not talking about wins and losses.
It's the Eagles fans who are right because they've never been wrong about any player ever.
No, Kyle, you got a point there. I'm just talking about why we're fascinated when we got a winning quarterback. That's the biggest thing. I'm not worried about where he fall at on the list because all these guys can put up stamps and all that stuff.
You are worried about it, though. Like, you're calling us about it. You've been calling us about it.
I'm talking about it because every day is Jalen. Every day is Jalen. Jay,
he's the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. Every day was Carson. Every day was Donovan. I mean, he's the number one athlete in the city for a reason. He's the quarterback of the football team.
And by the way, did you not just complain about us taking up your time that you wanted to use to talk about Jalen Hurts while we were talking about the automated balls and strike system? You called in about Jalen. We'll talk about Jalen. We'll make it about us.
Kyle, really, I was just saying that because y'all was filibustering because he was like, I'm up next. And I'm
Thanks for ducking him.
Jay, you figured it out. You know, Jay, I don't have to put you up on the air. Like, I take your calls because maybe I'm crazy. I enjoy the back and forth, Jay. Maybe I'm the crazy one. But, like, we didn't have to take your call. I took it because I wanted to take your call about Jalen Hurts.
On that, I just think there's such a disconnect. This is what I've noticed throughout this entire offseason, all the Jalen Hurts discourse. People can't separate every single person here that roots for the Philadelphia Eagles. If you just ask them, does it matter where Jalen Hurts is listed? The answer is no.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I agree with all those people. Like, at the end of the day, who cares? But there's something different here. Like, as sports fans, We like ranking things. We like debating who's better than this guy. The only ever time I remember this becoming a problem now is because people are sensitive about where Jalen Hurts is ranked in these lists. We should all be happy. I am happy that we have a team and a quarterback that we're capable of winning a Super Bowl with. Like, that's okay. But if we're having the discussion, if you ask me where I rank him, I'm going to put him in the appropriate spot. I'm going to put him where I think he belongs. Like, that should be okay with everybody.
So, and I think the reality is people care a lot. I mean,
of course they do.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we shouldn't, but people care a lot because all I've seen for 2 months now, because there's been different lists, right? The PFF all the way to this week with the ESPN one is people are upset. They are annoyed right. at where he's ranked because they feel like he should be higher than wherever he is with Chris right. Sims or ESPN or whoever. What I think is interesting the most of this is there continues to be that disconnect you said, and it's not like if Chris Sims was the only one that had him 10 and everyone else has him 2, yeah. then I'd be like, yeah, maybe sure. maybe Sims is right. just pushing buttons.
Yeah.
But Sims is like the scouts in the NFL or like, you know, closer to ESPN or whatever. Like, they all see him as good, not great,
yeah.
and we here in this bubble see him as more great.
And I think people are just lying to themselves, because if you truly were of the mindset that having a Super Bowl-winning quarterback and team is all that matters to you, then you should see these lists and you should say, I don't give a crap.
Well, I also think it's a compliment to the rest of the Eagles.
Right, sure.
Right, they don't need necessarily the best quarterback in the league to win. It's a compliment to Howie and Nick and the roster they've built.
And we don't. But, like, everybody who wants to just pretend that the only thing that matters are wins and losses, you're lying to yourself, because you see this list and you get your you-know-what in a bunch about it, and you have to, you know how I feel about it.
I'm not
trying to discourage people from calling in about Jalen Hurts, but, like, there's a little bit of a disconnect here.
Yeah, and I think it's okay to care. I mean, if you care, if it bothers you, we'll talk about it. The other thing I find interesting is, you know, the other contenders in the NFC, like, they're all like the Hurts thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Stafford's not ranked a top five quarterback, and the Rams are looked at as a Super Bowl contender.
Right.
Brock Purdy is not a top five quarterback. The 49ers have been in that caliber with him. Jared Goff, who's ranked right around Hurts in this list, he's not a top five guy, or at least not, he was six on the list, whatever. But, like, he's not in that top four. And the Lions, it's a team game. Like, to win the Super Bowl, it's a team game.
I know. And this is going to sound like a lot of, this is going to sound haterish. Mm. I would love to hear somebody try and talk me into Jalen Hurts being elite without the use of the word winner.
Can't do it.
Super Bowl, any of that
stuff. Why are you asking for things that are not going to happen right here?
I know. But look, I think it would be very difficult for people to bring that up. Whereas I think those two things, the winning and the Super Bowl, are team accomplishments. Give me something about Jalen Hurts that puts him in that elite category without bringing up what a team accomplishment.
Let's go to Bill Amaco. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Hey, Bill, what's up?
Not too much. I agree. The lists are crazy. They're fun to talk about. But what I do care about is that we at least stay honest about the debate. A couple of callers ago, you asked the question, next year if the Eagles came out and Jalen's throwing gangbusters,
mm-hmm.
would the Eagles continue to throw the ball? And the answer is obviously yes.
Yes.
But the follow-up question is, if they do that, are you going to come on the air and complain that Saquon is a bum and the Eagles have no running game? Because there's only, 50, 60 offensive snaps a game. They're going to feed it to whoever the most effective offensive weapon is. Last year, that effective weapon was Saquon. That doesn't mean Jalen was bad. So if next year Jalen's effective, are you going to come on and say Saquon's a bum?
No. So Bill, I think it's fair the way you framed it, but I think there's a little thing missing from that. Bill, if we start the season and Jalen is very effective and Saquon goes from averaging 6 yards a carry to 3.5, I will say Saquon has slipped from last year. He's obviously not running the ball to the level he did last year. That's what people seem to leave out of September last year. It wasn't that, oh, Saquon's great, let's lean on him. It's Jalen's turning the ball over left and right. We're not winning these games. We have to shift. It seems like that's been left out. Like, it's almost like people want to say, Joe, the only reason they changed the offense because Saquon was great. No, they changed the offense because Jalen was turning it over when he was asked to throw 35 times a game.
7 turnovers in those 4 games.
That's the story that is being left out. And it's okay, they found their niche, and Jalen played very well in what they asked him to do, but that's what happened.
I don't think those need to be, it does make for good talk radio, but those aren't mutually exclusive. It could be both. they discovered that Jalen was struggling with the offense, but they had a workhorse in Saquon and the best offensive line.
But didn't they know that when the season began? Like,
No, I genuinely, Joe, I don't think they did because it was Saquon's. No, listen, it was Saquon's first season with us. The tape they had on him was him running behind a garbage line in New York. You don't know how a running game is going to blend.
Bill, they signed him. They signed him as a top of the market running back. They knew who they were getting in here.
They knew what they were hoping to get, but until they put it, they've signed a lot of people for a lot of money that didn't work. They signed Bryce Huff. How'd that work out for
them? So are you telling me that they expected it to not work and then pivoted when they found out it did? That doesn't make any sense to me.
No, that's such a disingenuous counterargument. They were hoping for it, just like they were for Bryce Huff. And when they discovered whether or not it worked or they didn't, they adapted their strategy accordingly.
No, you don't sign somebody off of hope. You sign somebody off of expectations.
How'd that work with Huff?
Well, it didn't work out well, and they moved off of Huff immediately. You're giving me, like, I don't understand what the comparison is with Bryce Huff at all here. They signed Saquon Barkley to be what he was, and he was that.
Right, and then once they discovered that, and
they did not just discover it in 4 weeks.
Can we find a happy medium in this? I said it earlier, Bill. The Eagles are as into the analytics and math of football as any team in the NFL. It's why they've gone for fourth down so much over the years. It is clearly more efficient to throw the ball than run it. Even if you have the best running back in the league, you get more yards every time you throw than every time you run. It's not even close. Yet the Eagles became the heaviest running team in the NFL, knowing that, and with two great wide receivers. Why did they take that approach?
I think for a couple of reasons. Primarily, they zig when other teams zag. All these defenses were getting smaller to accommodate a passing league. And Howie saw the cards and said, look, I'm going to get ahead of this.
But then they would have done that. Bill, if they did that from week one, I'd be with you. They wanted to throw the ball. They wanted to throw the ball at a high level. And they realized, okay, Jalen can still win, and he's still effective, but in shorter doses. It's the same thing to me as what Russell Wilson was in Seattle. He was a winning quarterback, and he was an excellent quarterback, but they were better when he was throwing the ball 20 times, and they didn't win as much when he threw the ball 35 times. And they realized it, and they got to two Super Bowls. And I'm glad the Eagles realized it. But I can't twist myself into a pretzel to say he's just as good as Joe Burrow because the Eagles realized how to win.
Yeah, and I'm not the type that takes offense to a Russell Wilson comp.
I didn't mean it to offend. I actually think it's a compliment. Bill, what's your guess for Q's Clues for the Phillies tickets?
I think I got one too many coaches, but I'm going to go with Jason Peters.
Jason Peters, Bill, not it. We appreciate it. We got another clue for Q's Clues coming up on the other side. Your calls on all of this. And we got to finish the Phillies. Luke's going to throw a potential trade target at us. We'll play blind date style, see if we want to trade for this guy. Coming up on the other side, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is that time of the show. We're going to finish the Phillies here. Every day, a new blind resume for a player that the Phillies could potentially acquire. Luke, what do you got for us today?
So today, I have for you another outfielder, a left fielder who is batting .251 this year, 12 home runs, 47 RBIs, and a .720 OPS. His on-base percentage is only .299 compared to his .251 batting average. Now, almost every single game this year, he's been in left field. So you can throw him out there in left field every single day. Here's some splits. Against lefties, he's batting .286 with 3 home runs and 13 RBIs. Against righties, he's batting .238 with 9 home runs and 34 RBIs.
You said a switch hitter or a right-handed hitter?
This is a right-handed hitter.
And how many home runs did you say he had on the season?
He has 12 home runs on the season.
I don't like that .299 on base. That feels like a Castellanos-ish kind of guy where he'll hit some home runs, doesn't get on base.
He was an all-star 2 years ago.
Okay.
Last year, he hit .279, had 18 home runs and 75 RBIs in 133 games played.
How old?
He is 31 years old, yes. 31, turning 32 sometime this year.
And
October
10th. And what kind of contract are we dealing with here?
He is a free agent in the 2026 season. A relatively... It's a friendlier contract. It's not up there with, you know, the hundreds of millions. It's so a friendlier contract. 3 years, $42 million.
There one year left, or this is the last year?
He has 1 year one left, year so left. He'd have him under control for next year as well.
Man. See,
sounds like a Kepler upgrade, but I'm also not in love with the profile.
He started off the season bad. He started off the season in March and April hitting 181.
So he's been hot lately.
And then 324 in May, 247 in June, and 260 in July.
And a primary left fielder.
Yes.
Huh. Man, I think, so from that, if I'm getting a bat, I think I want more pop than that, than the 10 home runs. Yeah. Like, that's, I think, the biggest thing that I'm looking to add to this lineup. But 31, 1 year left after this one, doesn't sound like he'd cost you your top prospect.
I can't imagine.
He most likely would not. He is on a team that is most likely going to be selling.
Most likely going to be selling.
Yes. The most home runs he's had in a season is 24, and that was the same year that he was an all-star.
Man. All right. So the guy that I was going to guess is out. I think I might have to be a no on this guy.
I would take him, and I think just the way you framed it, he's better than Kepler, and I feel like he'd provide more. But if this is it, I'm not thrilled. Who is it?
It was actually batting 270 on the road, but it's Lourdes Gurriel Jr.
Okay, wow. From the Diamondbacks.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I'm glad I said no on that. I think because some of these things, I'm like, I'm a little bit surprised that the profile is compared to the player. The Brian Reynolds thing is a guy that if you traded for, you're like, oh, Brian Reynolds.
Yeah.
And then you look at his numbers, you're like, oh, crap, Brian Reynolds. This feels like Lourdes Gurriel. I'm like, Lourdes Gurriel. And then you look at the numbers and you're like,
It does go to show that, you know, just the way it's gone so far with these blind date resumes, I don't know if they're going to land someone that wows us with their statistics this year. I mean, maybe, but so far it's been like, hey, you got to kind of squint to like what you're seeing.
This feels like a guy where can't do that again with Mark. If they try to kind of shoot for the Buxton or Stephen Kwan thing and fail on that, they give up like their eighth or ninth best prospect for Gurriel. That's kind of what this feels like.
Yeah, I mean, look, when we're talking lower level prospects like that, it's hard for me to get like super upset about who they get in return. So, you know, if I found out and I woke up one day and I found out that was the trade they made, I would say like whelmed or slightly underwhelmed.
I'd be whelmed.
Yeah.
But I mean, at $14 million, though, like he'd be the left fielder next season. We'd be kind of locking ourselves in a Gurriel in 26 too. It's like that doesn't excite
me. Yeah. Yeah. Again, I think the biggest thing I'm looking to add to this lineup is somebody with some legitimate pop. Like, man, I wanted that to be Brent Rooker so bad, but when he said 10 home runs, I was like, nah.
I could do Brent Rooker after last night. Yeah. Home run in the All-Star game. And
he'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and it would be amazing.
I'd love Brent Rooker here. The other thing is, this could happen. It wouldn't excite us. But sometimes you trade for a player, and then they're better for your team than they were before. Like, Joe Blanton was not having a great season for the A's in 08, and then he was better for the Phillies.
Edmundo Sosa.
And, yeah, right.
Sure, okay. Because I was going to say, I'd contend, when has that happened for this version of the Phillies? It feels like the more so the opposite happens. Yeah. But Sosa is a good example. I mean, he's probably the best deadline move Dave Dombrowski's ever made.
I feel like Syndergaard was exactly what we thought he was when he came over.
Sure.
He was just kind of he could help a little bit. But
Sosa was the most bang for your buck.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard for the Phillies to land a huge bat. We're going to have to hope the bat they get provides more than maybe he's done so far.
Yeah, you know, I think when you weren't here, I did Taylor Ward. That's the one I think I like the best.
20-something home runs, right?
Yeah, man.
And they've been linked to him for a couple years now. I could see that one. I could see.
Mm-hmm. We've dealt with the Angels a few times before.
Yeah, the Angels are coming here this weekend. You just leave him here. You know, that other outfielder for the Angels is healthy. He's
all right.
He's playing really well right now. All right, 215-592-9494. If we go back to the phone lines, let's give everyone we're on to clue number three. This is where Hugh gets squirrely. Yeah. He starts to feel the pressure.
And I'm still okay. I'm very comfortable with how these clues have gone.
All right, clue number three.
And I'm not blaming the students. All right, so I'll go back to the first two here before I give you the third one. He was an Eagle of the last quarter century, so an Eagle from 2000 to 2025.
Yep.
He has spanned three Eagles head coaches, and that does not include one interim head coach. And the third clue, his name came up on the show yesterday, and I never would have expected it.
All right, so when we were doing the show yesterday, of course, which was the top five Eagles of the last 25 years, this guy was mentioned. Yes, and I agree with you. I didn't expect the name mentioned yesterday, but it was. There's your third clue. If you were listening yesterday, you're going to know the answer to this one. Bam is in Upper Darby. Hey, Bam.
What's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Bam, hey, what's up?
Can I defend you guys, producers, real quick with Aaron from San Diego?
Yes.
Can I defend you? Can you name, Aaron, can you name all 14 producers? Can I name...
I don't think so. He said Adam, and yeah. We don't have an Adam.
Bam, before you give your take on this, so unless someone works with us, like if Kyle's out or Kyle's here with me, right? Like unless we have a Luke or we had Alex before, I don't get to see everyone on the weekends the way maybe I used to 5 years ago, 6 years ago. So I thought maybe we had an Adam and it slipped through the cracks and I never met him. But then I looked at Kyle and Luke's face. I was like, I don't think we have an Adam. So there's definitely no Adam around here.
There was no Adam. I never heard of Adam before.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And you would know. I mean, you're calling all the shows.
Yeah, Aaron's lucky that I take the high road and don't rank my bottom five callers at WIP.
Well, we might get there soon.
Yeah.
So... my top five would be Kyle, Buzz, Fran, Morgan Stein, Luke, Alex.
I think that was five.
It's six. This is the problem. With top five list. We have six or seven. Yeah. Now, be honest. Is Luke on your list because he's here today and he picked up your call?
Yeah, what if I'm not here?
Yeah, be real.
Luke is cool. Luke's my guy.
That sounds like a 4-5.
Yeah, Luke's fine.
Yeah, is it like Hurts is a really top five quarterback, or we just do it because we like him, type of thing?
No, I mean I like Hurts. Yeah. I put him at number one.
Number one.
Yep. All right. Yeah. You ready for my Sixers, man? You ready for my Sixers?
Yes, of course.
All right. So I'm going AI number one.
Okay.
Aaron McKee number two. John Salmons. Samuel Dallenberg and Lou Williams.
We got Slambear in there. Samuel Dallenberg made your list.
Yeah.
Is this because Dallenberg was also a King at some point? Because you're a Kings fan.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The band's pulling our.
I can't believe we got John Salmons on a list today.
Now I can't take your producer list seriously after this.
I say John Salmons because you know he went to Plymouth White Marsh High School where Jack Fritton, Jody Cameron was playing baseball at.
How about that little John Salmons trivia? I mean, things happen on this show every day. I don't expect. And John Salmons is one of them. Bam, what do you got for us? What's your guess for Q's Clues?
So his name, I know I was listening yesterday. I heard his name, and it was, let me guess, it's John Dorenbos.
John Dorenbos is it.
It
you
is.
Got it, Bam.
100%,
three clues,
man.
Baby. Good job to Bam. How about that? Bam.
Beat it, Hugh.
Active listener. Bam, we like that. Appreciate it, Bam. I'll put you on hold. We'll get you all your info, obviously, for the tickets.
How about that?
Bam's heading to the Phillies game Tuesday, July 22nd at 6:45. You got to rub that in Hugh's face.
Yeah, that's a man that listened to the show yesterday, paid attention. My clues were very concise. Clear and concise.
My favorite part is when Hugh does a clue like that. Like, if you were listening yesterday, you know it, and then nobody gets it.
Yep. I did see somebody in the YouTube chat got it after the first clue.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
so
good.
I'm going to flex that off on you, too.
So as much as the you people are at some points a little bit, you know, meaner than they should be.
Well, they get mad when you say something mean about the quarterback.
I do love the you people. They're there every day, and they listen very actively.
They've added a lot to the show.
They have. Yep. They're great, except, you know, when they're saying mean things about us. But I do
we
like
say mean
them.
Things, too.
So. That's true. Well, pretty often. 215-592-9494. John Salmons on that list. At least he was above Ben Simmons. Yeah. Justin in Glassboro. What's up, Justin?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Hey, Justin.
Good. So I have a question for you guys. I was actually listening on my way to work, and you guys were talking about Jalen Hurts not being in your top five and being sixth on your list, Joe. Do you think any of the – I only think one of your top five quarterbacks could run the tush-push as effectively as Jalen does?
Allen, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I agree. Mean, yeah, I agree with that. I mean, Mahomes could. I can't remember the last time they asked Mahomes to do a sneak because he got hurt in his second or third year. And I don't even think they asked him to do even sneaks anymore. So, yeah, I don't think Mahomes would do it. Lamar, obviously, you run a lot with him, but he's a different kind of runner. And Burrow, no way. So, yeah, I think you're right, Justin. Only Allen would do this tush push.
I just don't think that would put other teams in as good of a position to win games and give Jalen an opportunity to win games and be as effective as he is in other elements of the game that they weren't able to convert like the Eagles do. So you take that element out, it makes Jalen the all-around great quarterback for the as effectively as he is.
Because
so
of a sneak?
I think that's why he should be in the top five.
Okay.
So
the sneak, his throwing ability, his running ability, the ability to change on the fly like you guys were talking about earlier, just all aspects of the game make him a top five quarterback.
So I do agree with your larger point, right? That that play would kind of be out of the playbook if they had Joe Burrow, right? It wouldn't be there. But
right. They wouldn't go for it as much on fourth down or convert and be in situations to make plays like Jalen does as much if he wasn't the quarterback.
But couldn't I also – so I agree with that. But couldn't I also say let's say they have Lamar. You know how, like, Jalen will run on third and seven and he'll pick up six and then they go for the tush push? Lamar might just get 10 because he's faster. Or if they have Joe Burrow, maybe the third and six, he completes a pass to A.J. Brown for 9 yards, first down. Like, we might not need the tush push as much.
Right. No, I agree with that. But I think Jalen progressed last year and has continued to progress throughout his career. I think I expect him to make the progression at throwing the ball, and he showed that in the biggest games last year. And I think going into this year overall, look at his progression throughout his career, it makes him a top-five quarterback.
Justin, I get your point on it, and I respect it. Justin, good. That was actually a different element to his value that hasn't been brought up.
Well, and it was reasonable. Yeah. Like, his conclusion there is that he's a top-five quarterback. Okay. It's where I lose my mind are the people who have to tell me and insist that because the Eagles won the Super Bowl, right. That now he's better than Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, you know, even to some degree, Mahomes, et cetera. Like, that stuff is it's just going too far for me.
You know
me.
What I picked up there from that call, and I think it's kind of it's in a lot of the reaction the last few days. There's a lot of assumption that the hurts we saw in the play in this championship game against the Commanders in the Super Bowl will now be the hurts. Because he said he progressed. I can make a case based on the regular season, he was regressing.
Yeah.
Right? The best Jalen played in any regular season was 2022. That was the best, like, week in, week out. He was an MVP candidate. I can make a case, if we're just talking about the regular season last year, at times it looked like he was regressing. Yeah. Now, in the playoffs, the last two games, he played his best. It feels like there's an assumption that is what he's going to do now.
That's the real hurts.
And maybe it is. Yeah. I mean, I'm not discounting he gets better. I mean, he's only 26 years old. Like, if he gets better, great. Just like Tom Brady went from kind of a game manager to an MVP. But I need to see that before I believe, like, the way he played the last two games, he's going to do it every week.
And you know what it reminds me of a little bit? You know who also broke out during the playoff run? Nolan Smith.
Yep.
Who had been very quiet for the majority of the season. Now, do people expect Nolan? I think a lot of people do go into next season expecting Nolan Smith to take that next step just based off of what they saw in those last two games. But would it be crazy if someone were to say, let me see him do it consistently over a full season next year before I say that he's one of the best defensive ends in football? Like, I don't think that's that crazy. And I think it's a totally fair comparison.
So, you know how ESPN did the list we were talking about this week? They've been doing all the positions, right? They had A.J. Brown, fifth receiver today. They had, I think, Mylott and Lane were both top five tackles. They last week I saw they had the edge rushers. And I went to see, because I didn't expect Nolan to yet be ranked top 10 because he hasn't done enough. But I was wondering if he was going to be in, like, the also receiving votes or honorable mention. And he wasn't. And it kind of caught my attention because I feel like the last half of last year, especially the playoffs, he did play like a top, 15 or 10 edge rusher. Yeah. But that doesn't always mean you are ready to do that over a full year.
Of course not. Right. Like, that's the thing. I think we've gotten, and granted, to be totally fair, they are the two biggest games of the season.
Yeah.
They were one after the other, the biggest game and then an even bigger game right after that. And they stepped up, both Jalen Hurts and Nolan Smith did. But again, and I'll make the comparison just as with the defensive line as a whole. They destroyed Patrick Mahomes. But if you remember, the conversation for most of the season was the one weakness of the defense is their ability to get to quarterbacks and rush the passer. Like, they were really propped up, I think, to a huge degree by the back end, by the secondary. And I don't think that's unfair to the defensive line to say, no, am I glad they stepped up in those last two games? Yeah, just like I'm glad that Jalen Hurts is able to step up and prove me wrong to a degree that he couldn't do it. I didn't think he would be able to do it. I'm glad that he did. But am I ready to make some grand assumption or some grand projection about who he is as a player just based off of two games? No, I'm not ready to do that.
Yeah, and I think that's why for most of these lists, the top four doesn't change because those guys, like, they're pretty much like you just know what you're going to get, right? Like Lamar, you know what you're getting. you know, at Burrow. Like, Hurts is a little more unpredictable.
Right.
3 years ago, he was amazing. 2023, not so great. Last year, he was efficient, but we know what happened. They changed the offense, and he had two special games. I don't know. You can make a case to me this year he's great again. I could see it. He has a lot around him. We know he has the ability. But also, like, would it shock anyone if he plays like the 10th or 12th best quarterback next year?
No, and to the other side, if he comes in and, say, you know, wins the MVP, then all the people who want to call in and say he's right up there with Patrick Mahomes,
they got it.
Eat your heart out. Go ahead.
I do wonder where he is in MVP. I haven't looked in a while. Where do you think Jalen is right now in preseason MVP odds?
So that's interesting.
You would think it's going to be high because the Eagles should be good, right? He's the quarterback of a team that's good.
But also, yeah, right. I guess, and a lot of times just winning will get you that MVP. But, man, I wonder if the supporting cast stuff sort of leaks into where he's – like the odds for that award. I mean, I'm looking at it right now.
So it's MVP. Lamar is the favorite at 5-1. Josh Allen second at 6-1. Mahomes also 6-1. Burrow also 6-1. Jaden Daniels at +750. Those are the top five. Yep. And it's a big gap after that.
And then Herbert and Jalen are tied.
Herbert, Jalen tied at 20-1.
That looks like a lot of the lists that are out there.
It does.
I'm just saying.
I mean, then you have Stroud, Purdy, Love, Goff. That kind of looks like the list.
It looks exactly like all the lists.
Yeah, like the best players are more towards the top. Yes. All right, let's go to Big V in Mount Laurel. What's up, Big V?
Yo, what's going on?
Big V, what's up?
Well, first, Kyle, congratulations on getting your cherry popped. Your first existential meltdown.
My first?
Aaron. Yeah, first one ever.
He usually has them with Aaron on the phone before Aaron gets to the air. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great. Now, since you guys finished with the list, here's my take on the list. I think the list is just basic bullcrap, and people do it just to get content because,
Yes, I agree that ESPN asked these people to give their responses so they could put out a list so they can have content, right? I agree with that. But the people responding, like the scout for the San Diego Chargers or the Los Angeles Chargers, the scout for the Seattle Seahawks, what does he care about content for? He's just responding to the reporter saying, hey, can you give me your list of your top 10 quarterbacks? I'm putting a story together.
It's clickbait.
Like, person is not creating their list for content. They're just giving a list.
No, they're not. They're just giving a list, but it looks like a lot of haterism because the Super Bowl team that they wanted to win didn't, which basically means they're overcompensating for their erectile dysfunction.
Wait a second. Hold on a second.
You gotta relax.
Just go off the example I use. Let's say one of the people that gave their list back as part of the survey was the Seahawks scout. What did he care if the Eagles won or lost the Super Bowl for? What skin in the game does this random person have?
Well, did he scout anybody that won the Super Bowl lately?
But someone has to win the Super Bowl. If your team doesn't win, you're not happy. So I can say the same thing about any champion. They don't like any champion.
Correct. But then we agree on that.
Oh, my God. All right, go ahead. You're just trying to discredit the list. That's all this is.
Correct.
Okay. At least we found common ground. Yep.
But here's the thing, and this is why I'm discrediting the list. Because you ask any of those quarterbacks on that list, who would they rather be, top five on the list or Super Bowl winning MVP? Guess which one they're going to choose.
But that's not the debate. The debate is who's a better player. That's it.
This is the disconnect I was talking about. We're not talking about who won the Super Bowl. That's a definitive list. There's no debate. Write it down. Okay. That's the list. We're ranking quarterbacks, Big V.
We're not talking about who won the Super Bowl. We're talking about ranking quarterbacks.
Yes, this is a concept as old as time on Sports Talk.
One of the biggest things in terms of content of ranking a quarterback would be their ability to win the big game, correct?
Yeah. Well, that's a part of it, sure, but that also requires a team. Can I give you an analogy, Big V? There are plenty of like rich and famous people that if you say, Joe, like, do you think that person's more handsome than you? I'd say, yeah, there's plenty of them. But I wouldn't trade my life for theirs. I like my life and my family. Like, I wouldn't swap spots with them, but I could acknowledge they're better looking than me and probably have a lot more money. Like, that's okay. Like, it's just honest.
Well, no, that's just basically honest and reality.
Well, that's what we're trying to do.
God forbid.
But where's the reality in ranking the Super Bowl winning quarterback, the MVP of the most highest game in the league, yet coming in number 9th? What's the reality in that? In what world
does that truly rank?
I just... Okay. Big V, this is such an easy retort. Where did you have Nick Foles ranked after he was the Super Bowl MVP in 2017?
Number one.
Okay, then you're a moron. Sorry.
So I also need to ask you this. Hold on a second, Big V. Last year's Super Bowl, the one before the Eagles just won, the game went to overtime. It was a coin flip, Chiefs and Niners. If the Niners had won and they were this close to winning, is Brock Purdy the best quarterback in the league?
Let me quote Hugh Douglas. If my uncle had titties, he'd be my aunt.
Big V. No more. This guy is just out of control.
What are we doing?
Well, he also didn't want to answer it because he wouldn't have
of
put party
not.
Number one.
I can't take it. The dots are just not connecting for people. We know he won the Super Bowl. We know he was the MVP. We're not asking. That's not the question. The one thing I do agree with him a little bit on, and this pains me to admit, and I don't think this is clearly it's not clickbait from these scouts, coaches, executives, whatever. But so while I don't agree that he's number nine, I think part of that could have to do with a little bit of confirmation bias.
Yeah.
These people.
Yeah.
And I think fans do that to a degree, too. When you have this guy as a first round pick, you look for more reasons to believe that he has that in him. Than you do for a guy who, you know, say Brock Purdy.
Well, the lower you're drafted, the more that everyone surveyed passed on him.
You have an uphill climb to win the favor of those people. Like, and for you know, I think it's funny because the one example of a guy who I think actually did win the favor a lot, like Dak Prescott, I think it's maybe not right now, just he's been injured and out of the spotlight and stuff.
He won people over,
but Dak won people over just by consistently putting together those high volume passing seasons and just show, you know. And but again, the playoff losses and stuff have I think now started to skew a little bit people's views on him. But guys like Jalen Hurts and Brock Purdy have it differently, a little bit more of an uphill battle than a guy like a Justin Herbert does or a Josh Allen.
So, I agree.
So I don't think the nine is fair. I think a five or six, very fair.
I agree. And I do think Jalen might be the quarterback that is the widest range of perception right now. Some people want to believe, like, hey, that what he just was, that's who he is, and he's a champion. Some people are like, it wasn't all that way all your last year. 215-592-9494. Coming up on the other side, all your phone calls. And CJ GJ, he went on the pivot. He had a lot of things to say about the Eagles, his comments when he left the Eagles, and even threw an apology in there. We'll get to all that coming up. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.